The epistle appointed to be read for the fourth Sunday after Easter is taken from the epistle of St. James, the first epistle. Beloved, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change, nor shadow of alteration. Of his own will he has begotten us by the word of truth, that we might be, as it were, the first fruits of his creatures. You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the justice of God. Therefore, casting aside all uncleanness and abundance of malice, with meekness receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, I am going to him who sent me, and no one of you asks me, where art thou going? But because I have spoken to you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. But I speak the truth to you, and it is expedient for you that I depart. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of justice, because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world has already been judged. Many things yet I have to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will teach you all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he will hear, whatever he will hear, he will speak, and the things that are to come he will declare to you. He will glorify me, because he will receive of what is mine and declare it to you. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, the first thing this morning, I bring to your attention that immediately after this Mass, there will be a baptism, the new baby of Jeremiah and Amy DiNardo. Please pray for this baby and pray for the parents of this child, that Almighty God will forever allow this family to be in his peace. Next Sunday, as you will notice in today's bulletin, at this Mass, we will receive Miss Tori Henderson into the novitiate of St. Joseph's Convent. It goes without saying that for this young lady, and for all of us, really, that the most special prayer that we can offer up to God in petition, as far as we are concerned, is not strong enough. And that we all are walking into the doorway, we hope, of peace. So pray for Miss Henderson, who will become a novice next Sunday at this Mass. Pray for her parents, and pray for the sisters. Please pray for the sisters. We do not know We simply do not know the kind of strength of prayer that can reach the ear of Almighty God that comes from these secluded women. There's no noise, no fuss, no fanfare. It is the simplicity of holiness, the simplicity that is looked for by Almighty God. God help us if all the nuns vanish. Wednesday of this week, unbelievable really, is the 10th anniversary of the dedication of this church. 10 years ago on Wednesday, we dedicated this church to Almighty God. And it was dedicated for a special purpose. And by the grace of God, as long as we have the strength within us and the grace of God directing us and protecting us and leading us and helping us and inspiring us, this church will stand up in fulfillment of its purpose. We must have your prayer also, because your prayer is extremely important in the fulfillment of this purpose, of this church. And as I told the local bishop once upon a time, that every brick in this church has got somebody's name on it. And it is our purpose to make sure that the wish of the purpose of the person whose name is on a particular brick is fulfilled. So help us God. Is that clear enough? In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's bulletin, there is something that was said once upon a time by a very well-known man, a cardinal of the church, Joseph Mercier. And he was speaking to priests. And I thought it would be good to include that this morning in our bulletin, that you could read the instruction coming from this well-known man, very prominent person indeed, who told priests what they need to talk about. And if ever this instruction is to the point, it is to the point today. We are so busy in talking about, they may be important, I'm not going to deny that, but they're non-essential things. And the important things of life, the important things of our souls, are underestimated. And the only thing, the only purpose of any priest, any time, any place, anywhere, I'll correct that in a minute. I made a mistake. priest, any time, any place, has to be the salvation, first of all, of his own soul, and then of the souls of those who come to him for nourishment. The correction that I have to make was that the church was dedicated in 1995, so this is the 13th anniversary. So please excuse my mistake. I want to read just one part, one paragraph of today's point in the bulletin. It has reference to our Lord. And he's telling the priest what this priest talks about when he talks about our Lord. It's the second paragraph on the bottom of the page. Christ? Yes. You speak of him. That is to say, you make known the history of his life on earth. So many events which announce the foundation of the kingdom of God. But this kingdom itself, which dates from Pentecost, his supreme priesthood, the manifold aspects of the glorified Christ, what place do they occupy in your personal piety and in your pastoral preaching? Those are horrendous words, beloved people. They are horrendous words. And everything we do, we preach, we say, we do not include the teaching to the people of that which is essential, the interior life. By the grace of God, we preach the interior life here. There is nothing else to talk about. It's important. During these past several days in our country, we have had quite a bit of interesting excitement and everything else. We know, everybody knows about it. And everybody involved and not involved has had something to say, this way, that way, or the other way. Might I ask, whoever it is, from which side of whatever argument, what has this or these words presented with great vehemence? Yes, indeed. What good have they done to anybody's soul? Ask yourselves that question. I might add another question. This has been going on now for some 50 years. Argument and debate, presentation and dissension and disturbance and division and 10,000 other problems. What on God's earth has this accomplished? What has this done to promote peace of mind and soul in the hearts and minds of those who look for and hope for the engrafted word that we heard tell of this morning? What is the engrafted word? Is it my word? Is it my neighbor's word? Is it the college professor's word? Whose word is it that we speak of? And when we take that word, look again at how many thousand ways that word has been changed around and turned around, upside down, inside out, and every other way, according to the likes or the dislikes of whoever it is that thinks that that word comes by way of his or her mouth. The word is clear. It is clear to all of us. It is clear to even those that speak. That word is the word of Almighty God. He spoke that word. He uttered that word. And it is not up to me, nor to anybody else at all, wherever, whoever, to speak as though that word has come directly from his lips. And if you want peace, my beloved people, we must come to an understanding of that and put aside all the various and sundry arguments this way that you're jerked around in every conceivable direction by anybody and everybody who speaks. I will tell you something. I don't think I've told you this before. I asked a certain priest a question here about a week or so ago. Someone who moves around, I mean, well, at least by way of the telephone, because he's retired now. He's an older man. I asked this man who today is the final interpreter of the law, of canon law. I think I told you this last week, but I'm repeating myself if I did. Forgive me, but it's worth repeating. I asked him, who is the final interpreter of the law? The law of our church, the law of our belief, and whatever. I asked him that question. The final interpreter. This was his answer. It was quick in coming. He said to me with very emphatic tones, he says, it is every single priest who ascends the pulpit to preach. Now, if this was on the political arena or in the political arena, we would call it anarchy, wouldn't we? At least that. My beloved people, you know where the truth is. Stick by that. And that's that. That's all I'm going to say today. And in the place of any further comment of interpretation and evaluation and this and that and this and that and this and that, and everybody's got something to say about everything that is being said and done, you know, why don't we let Jesus Christ attend to the matter? It's his business, after all. isn't it? Let Jesus Christ, it's his ability to be able to correct the situation. Therefore, instead of any further word coming from this pulpit, let us say five Our Fathers and five Hail Marys and five Glory Be to the Fathers on our knees, asking the petition and the help of our Lord. And that if nobody else prays for this kind of help, then he will know at least that we did. I want it to come from our hearts, not our minds. Not our minds, but our hearts. So that we, at least, children of God, among others, of course, that we at least can have that peace of mind, that peace of soul, that peace of heart, that any child of God can expect. Dearest people, let us pray together.